Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello again and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we have a very special programme because we've got live in the studio the Muir family. And I'd like to introduce to you this very special young Christian family. So we've got Robert. Hello Robert, nice to see you.
Evening Mr Noble, it's nice to see you.
How are you? You've been rushing from your work tonight?
Yes, as usual. No rest for the wicked, as they say. But managed to got here on time anyway. So
just to help our listener to understand who we're talking to here, can you say something a bit about your background? Like, where were you born and brought up?
My name's Robert Muir. I was born in Paisley, and I moved down into Stevenson about 28 years ago.
And you're now living in Saltcoats?
Now live in Saltcoats, married to my wife, Amanda. I've got four gorgeous children. My oldest is 17, Robert. Then I've got Courtney, she's 11. And my next daughter is Ellie. She's seven.
Six.
And my youngest is 10 weeks, and that's Josh. Joshua.
So let's meet Amanda then. This is your wife. So tell us about yourself, Amanda. Where are you from?
I've been born and bred in Saltcoats all my life. Met Robert 15 years ago and we settled down and got married in the year 2000 and started our family the year later. And here we are today with my third child.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't got Courtney in the studio because she's away in a wee trip or something?
Yeah, Courtney's away to Arran with the school for the week, so first time she's been away from home.
This is Mayfield School?
Yeah, Mayfield Primary.
We have Ellie with us. It's nice to have you, Ellie. And sitting quietly beside us, sound asleep, we have the latest addition, Joshua. So it's only 10 weeks.
Yeah, he's 10 weeks today.
Today? Oh,
yeah.
Well, happy 10th week birthday or whatever you call
yep.
that. So, we've got this nice family, and in the course of the programme, we're going to peel the onion and get underneath the skin and find out more about this family. Amanda, well, I was going to say, you haven't got wide taste in music, you've got narrow taste in music. One group above all other groups, I understand.
Yes, I do like my Westlife. I followed Westlife with my friends for several years and we are very regulars at every concert that they have and we will be going to their farewell tour, which is taking place in a couple of months' time, so we've already got our tickets in place for that as well. So
wow, you must be really keen.
Yes.
So we've got to start with a Westlife track and you've chosen
Flying Without Wings.
Everybody's looking for that something, one thing that makes it all complete. You find it in the strangest places, places you never knew it could be. Some find it in the face of their children, some find it in the love eyes. Who can deny the joy it brings when you found that special thing. You're flying without wings. Some find you cheering every morning, some in the solitary night. You find it in the words of others. A simple line can make you find it in the deepest friendship, the kind you cherish all your life. And when you know how much that means, you found that special thing. You're flying without wings. So impossible as they may see, you've got to fight for every dream. Got to choose to know which one you let go would have made you complete. Well, for me it's waking up beside you to watch the sunrise on your face, to know that I can say I love you in any given time or place. It's little things that only I know. Those are the things that
you're listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, and I'm talking to the Muir family who live in Saltcoats. We're going to look in depth now at particularly the birth of Joshua. You've got a small family already, but the most recent addition is Joshua just 10 weeks ago.
Yep.
So can you talk us a wee bit through the pregnancy and the 9 months leading up to the birth? How was it for you, Amanda?
I don't like saying this, but Joshua wasn't exactly a planned pregnancy as such, and I know at my age that's ridiculous, but Robert was in Perth when I found out that I was pregnant, so it was quite a kind of shock for myself, and I had decided that I was going to wait to the Friday until he was home rather than tell him over the phone. But me being me, as soon as I spoke to him on the Tuesday night, I blurted out that I was pregnant because I couldn't keep it in.
And Robert, what was your thought at the time?
Cancel the milkman and cancel the paper boy. That's all that was going through my head at the time. But it all turned out well. So, over the moon.
Yeah, once we get used to the idea, it was a nice addition to the family. We thought it was just going to... It was going back to the changing of the nappies and the nighttime feeds, but that's just the part and parcel of parenthood.
You both strike me as the sort that wanted a big family.
Huh? I would have umpteen children. Do you know, it's obviously just finances. You've got to be able to afford them as well.
Do you feel the same, Robert?
I've always wanted a big family. As Amanda says, it's just the finance situation. You've got to think ahead. Uh-huh. Josh was a shock. More than anything else.
But it was a happy shock.
Oh, a
happy
nice shock. Yeah. Best thing that could have happened to us as a family, truthfulness.
And when you were going through with your pregnancy, did it go reasonably smoothly?
It did. We had a test done where they had, I came back as a high risk for Down syndrome. That was round about the 15-week mark, and that was quite a traumatic time for both of us. Just the uncertainty whether Josh was going to be healthy or if he was going to have some special needs. And obviously, nothing prepares you for that, because I've had two children, and you just assume that you're going to have another healthy baby. But after we'd spoke about it, we kind of thought, well, if this is what's planned for us, then we'll be fine, and we'll manage as a family.
See, it's at that point some people would be seriously thinking about abortion.
Yeah, no, it never ever. They did put that to us in the hospital, and they were speaking to us about that and talking about arranging funerals. It was just horrendous. It was a horrible thing to go through. And
they weren't pushing it at you, were they?
No. But just obviously they've got to tell you all your options. But for Robert and I, it just wasn't a... It wasn't an option. It was a case of we were going to have the baby regardless.
Can I ask why you felt so strongly that way?
Because it's not... It wouldn't have made him any different, do you know? It would have just made him a bit more special, that he would have needed a bit more care and attention, but it's still our baby and it would still be...
Would you have said that you were against abortion before any of this arose?
I think, for me personally, I couldn't have an abortion, but that's just because I couldn't live with that guilt. I'm not saying that it's wrong, because I think you have to be in that situation before you can make an opinion about abortion. But for myself...
You're quite strongly against it.
Yeah, for myself, emotionally, I couldn't deal with the guilt if I ever did something like that. So it was never an option.
You sometimes wonder if what a person has is their belief in the abstract, if it would change when the concrete situation arises. But you were anti-abortion before.
Yeah, no, it was just never a thought.
And you feel the same, Robert?
Uh-huh.
I think your kind of words to the doctor was, this isn't a dog that we're talking about. You don't just put them down. Robert was quite angry at the way they were kind of telling us in the hospital.
You get so many choices in life, and that's not a choice that me or Amanda, we both feel that way, that you could choose. It wouldn't have made life any easier, because at the end you've still got other parts you've got to go through with.
It's a human being at the end of the day.
It's part of us. The way I look at it is, it's a card you're dealt, and that's it. We don't write it.
And it helps if both husband and wife are on the same song sheet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, we'd already thought about the process was that if it had been the case, then I would have been giving up my work and being a full-time mum. That would have been... We'd already thought that through, didn't we? Mm. That it was... I would be... Because you couldn't expect anybody else to...
Mm-hmm. Or I could have gave up my work and became a house husband.
It's turned out that everything's...
Joshua is healthy. Yep, he's a healthy, grown boy.
And the birth itself went reasonably smoothly?
Yep, the birth was a planned section, so that was... much better for us, because we knew exactly when we were going to have him, right down to the time. They told us that we would be going to theatre at 10 o'clock in the morning, and so that for us was much better, organising childcare for the girls and getting them off to school and then getting into the hospital. So it was...
Well, let's play Anne Murray singing a song. It's entitled For Baby, to celebrate the birth of Joshua.
I'll walk in the rain by your side, I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand, I'll do anything to help you understand, I'll love you more than anybody can. And the wind down when you
So, Amanda, can I ask you an impossible question?
Yep.
Speaking as a man to a woman, what's it like to give birth?
It is the most amazing experience I think you'll ever go through in your life, giving birth to a human being, and it's unconditional love. As soon as you see that wee person looking at you, and it's their first cry, as soon as they lift the baby, because obviously I had a section, so I didn't give birth myself. As soon as they lift him, you're just waiting for that cry to know that it's went fine and he's healthy, he's alive, if that's the right way to put it. And then as soon as they hand you him, it's just an amazing experience. It's just so, you just love that. You just love him for the minute you see him.
As you speak to me, it reminds me of a moment I had in Africa. I was in a hospital and there was a little baby just born, mm-hmm. and it had two tubes in its nose. And the doctor said to me, I'm going to take the tubes out and it either breathes or doesn't.
Right.
And it's life or death.
Yep.
And we took the tubes out and we watched the tummy to see if it go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like an eternity and then it did.
Yep.
So there's the magic of seeing life.
Yep.
First breath, mm-hmm. first cry.
Yep. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, Joshua didn't cry for, it felt like a minute to me, but it was obviously seconds. And then obviously they had done a wee bit of work, and when he started crying, he just didn't stop after that, didn't he? You know, yeah. He'd be screaming. But that's when you know they're healthy.
Yeah.
So.
And how was it for you, Robert, the birth? Folk forget the man.
It was.
You didn't faint in the theatre or something?
No, I didn't faint. I know this is going to sound silly, but it's a life changing experience. It's an eye opener. In the same time, you're always saying to yourself, is your wife okay? And you're trying to be brave and where you want to faint. But it is, the minute you see, well, the minute I seen Joshua, the tears kind of stream down your face. And
was it also special because after some girls, we now have a boy?
Aye. The household is very difficult with three ladies. It's. The man has no say, as they can I say.
He's dominating girls, haven't we?
And the name Joshua, it's a Bible name. There's the book of Joshua in the Bible. Was there a special reason for the name Joshua?
I've always liked Joshua, even when I felt my first pregnancy, the names were going to be Courtney if it was a girl and Joshua for a boy. So it's just that name that's always, every pregnancy, even with Ellie, it was going to be Joshua if it was a wee boy. So I finally got my wee boy, but there wasn't a specific reason why, it was just a name that I've always liked, and it's a nice Christian name, so, and it's unusual.
Do you know the background that Joshua is a Hebrew word?
For Jesus.
The Greek equivalent, the translation into Greek is mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
So, tell us about what happened at Christmas.
At Christmas we were invited to the church to light the first candle of Advent for the, which is obviously the birth of the baby Jesus. And Joshua was present in the church. It's his first week at church.
He was only, how many days old?
He was 10 days old or 12 days old.
I think it was 12.
12 days old, and we lit the candle, first candle of Advent. It was actually quite a special service. It was very nice.
So it meant we there was a Jesus or a Joshua in our stable this Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very special.
Very fitting.
Special for the congregation as well as for your immediate family.
Yeah.
When you have a baby and you come home from the hospital and it doesn't have a manual with instructions, is that quite a sobering moment?
think it just comes natural. I think your maternal instincts just kick in, and obviously he's my third as well, so I think it's easier. I think the first time it's obviously more difficult because you just, there isn't a rule book and there's no right and wrongs. But Joshua is such a contented wee baby and just fits into the family perfectly. I mean, he's not a bother at all and he's in such a good routine. Mm-hmm. But no, you get there and all the help from our family and friends as well.
Now, can I introduce the note of postnatal depression?
Yeah.
Because the picture so far is that the pregnancy went fairly smoothly apart from the possible Down syndrome problem, which didn't actualise, and the birth went reasonably smoothly.
Yep.
So just in case there's folk out there getting depressed that it's so easy for other folk, it's not been just always that easy, has
it? No. After the birth of the two girls, I did suffer from postnatal depression, both very different episodes, but the darkest place that I've ever been in my life, and it was difficult for us as a family, but hopefully this time it's not going to happen. There's no guarantees that it won't, but it's just about remaining positive, and I know the signs this time, so if it does start to happen, then I can get the help before it becomes a crisis, because the last couple of times it's got to the point where I've been in crisis and really at my lowest.
So have you got any advice for a young mother who might be worried in that direction?
Yeah, I think it's just get help as soon as you know it's, you know yourself that you're not well, because it's a horrible place to be, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can get the help, and obviously if medication's required, the correct medication. And it's hard because you can't explain. It's different from depression. It's a total different. It's horrible. It's a really dark place.
Is it quite a common problem?
Yes, I think it can. It is quite common. And it's not, because I've had it, they don't guarantee, it's not something that is definitely going to happen. I've just been unlucky that I've had it with the birth of the two girls. But as I said, hopefully this time, I do feel more upbeat this time, and whether that's because it's a change of sex, I don't know. Do you know, it's just, I think you've got to remain positive and fingers crossed it doesn't happen, but I'll certainly be prepared if it does. And Robert knows the signs as well, so. But yeah, I think if it, for anybody, it's a really dark place, and it's about speaking to family and taking the help that's there.
But even if having had it twice, it didn't put you off?
No, it definitely didn't. It's something that, because it's fixed, you can fix yourself, it'll fix. Do you know, I had it for, I think the longest way, Ellie, was just under the year that I kind of suffered. But obviously once I was on the medication, it was managed then. But obviously I was still depressed. But no, it certainly doesn't put me off.
It helps to know that it doesn't last forever.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's just another part of life you need to go through.
And do fathers get postnatal depression at all?
No, they just have to sit back and watch the strange things. Oh, I always look at, I'm a kind of jokey guy anyway, so the first thing I would say to anyone is hide all sharp objects, all the cutlery, change it for plastic, stuff like that.
It's something you can get through together.
You can get through. If you're strong enough, you'll get through
it. And it bonds you together, coming through it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the whole package, the birth, the joys and the frustrations and sorrows, the whole package, you're both quite happy with the whole deal.
Yes.
You might even be doing this again. Oh, sorry, shouldn't say that.
No.
No.
Right, here's a cheerful song from John Denver. It's sung from the point of view of the baby being born, saying, I want to live, I want to grow, I want to be, I want to know. But it's true for every stage of life. Go for it, you know.
Children raised in sorrow on a scorched and barren plain. There are children raised beneath the golden sun. There are children of the water, children of the sand, and they cry out through the universe, their voices raised as one. I want to live, I want to grow, I want to see, I want to know,
I want to share what I can give. I want to be, I want to live.
Have you gazed out on the ocean, seen the breaching of a whale? Have you watched the dolphins frolic in the foam? Have you heard the song the humpback hears 500 miles away, telling tales of ancient history, of passages and home? I want to live, I wanna grow, I wanna see, I wanna know, I wanna share what I can give, I wanna be, I wanna live. For the worker and the warrior, the lover and the liar, for the native and the wanderer in kind, for the maker and the user, and the mother and her son. I am looking for my family, and all of you are mine. We are standing all together, face to face and arm in arm. We are standing on the threshold of a dream. No more hunger, no more killing, no more wasting life away. It is simply an idea, and I know its time has come. I want to live, I want to grow, I want to see, I want to know, I want to share what I can give. I want to be, I want to live, I want to grow, I want to see, I want to know, I want to share what I can give. I want to be,
talking to Robert and Amanda Muir, this young Christian family, about their new birth in Joshua, and they also have Courtney, Ellie and Robert. We've been talking to you so far in terms of the birth of Joshua and you as a family, but I'd like to particularly focus now on you as a Christian family, because the church is a big part of life for you.
Yep.
Can you say anything to me in that direction about where's the Christian bit in all this then?
It's important for myself that the girls are brought up in the church life and they know about God and the Bibles, and just it's just for their values. It's values in today's society. It's just full of... It's difficult, I think, bringing up young children in this day and age now. But you can always point them in the right direction. The girls are a big part of the girls' brigade, and that's something that I've believed in. I went to the girls' brigade for till I was about 16.
And you're still
in the girls' brigade. I've went back now as a leader, which is obviously good for me as well, because I'm enjoying it. I spend time with the girls. And
in fact, were you not at the girls' brigade the night before Joshua was born?
Yes, I was there on the Monday night teaching the brigaders and setting them up for a few weeks so they knew what they were doing while I was off in hospital having the baby. But yeah, it's important for me that they have that part of their life. Likewise, obviously, getting Joshua baptised. We've had both girls baptised. And that's about us introducing Joshua to God and taking him into God's house and being accepted. It's just might sound silly, but that's my belief.
No, I couldn't have said it better myself. Anything to add, Robert, in that direction?
I've always been, well, yeah, brought up with my mum and dad, they're Christian folk, and I've always been brought up that way.
Yeah.
Not that I count anyone any different, but I've always believed in God, and as Amanda says, I would like my girls to know and believe, and hopefully it'll turn out.
Set the path for them.
Set the path.
Yeah.
You can only try.
So you've got Joshua born into the Muir family, but he's also born into the congregation,
yep,
and to the whole Christian family throughout the world down the centuries. It's a lovely picture. Here's the baptismal song by Ian White.
Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you mean what you say, that Jesus is the way? Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you mean what you say, that Jesus is the way? Do you want to be baptized? Well, maybe it was done before you were one. Well, that's okay if it was done by faith. But if that's not true, then think this through. Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you mean what you say, that Jesus is the way? Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you mean what you say, that Jesus is the way? Do you want to be baptized? Well, you knew it in the church or the river or the sea, and your friends can be there and your family. It looks kind of easy, but it's really kind of hard, but it means you gotta have Jesus in your heart. So do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you mean what you say, that Jesus is the way? Do you want to be baptized? It's just a little way that you show to everyone that Jesus is going to be your number one. It looks sort of easy, but it's really quite hard, cause it means you gotta have Jesus in your heart. So do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be baptized? Do you mean what you say, that Jesus is the way? Do you want to be baptized? You can do it in the church or the river or the sea, and your friends can be there and your family. You go into the water and you get all wet, but the water is warm, so you don't mind a bit. And when it's all over, you're as happy as can be, cause you've shown to everyone that you believe. So do you want to be baptized?
So, Robert and Amanda, have you any particular hopes and dreams for the family?
I think for me it's just that they live life to the full. The children grow up with good values and good morals and have a happy life, healthy. They're just healthy and, yeah, follow their dreams. I'm one for, like, if you want something in life, then you go and get it. And I hope that passes on to the children as well, that if they really want something, then they work towards it and they'll achieve. I think that's all you can ask for.
And to have a good life.
Well, can I thank you, Robert, Amanda...
Thank you very much.
...and Ellie, and I'm thanking God that Joshua has been lying there sleeping the whole way through. But it's gone very well, thank you very much. We appreciate you sharing from the heart some of these intimate things. And we do wish you all God's richest blessings as you bring up your children. As you say, it's not an easy age in which to have children, but it's still exciting, and it's a miracle, and it's beautiful.
Yep.
And it's inspiring, just looking at Joshua lying there sleeping, all the potential in there. So may God bless you.
Thank you.
We'll finish with... Now, it was going to be the Westlife version of You Raise Me Up, but for technical reasons, we're going for Brian Kennedy. But it's about raising up children and God raising us all up together. So here's, I think it's a hymn really, although it describes a pop song. You Raise Me Up.
When I am down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and settle while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I